Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Hey, thanks for joining us here. I'm Lee Michaels in for Mark Walters on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, as once again, the Crossbreed Holster Studios have moved to the Twin Cities. Mark, travel day for him, of course. He had a wonderful time, great time out in Arizona, wrapping up the GRPC big to-do, their 30th anniversary out there. And Mark will be back on the Daily Show tomorrow in studio going strong. So we appreciate you tuning in today. Again, you can follow me at Lee Michaels Live. And big thanks to the United States Concealed Carry Association for sponsoring this program, as well as the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Very comfortable holsters. Very cool stuff we got going on the show today. Coming up on the second half of the program, Peter Johnson from Archway Defense will be joining me in studio, former federal air marshal. We're going to talk a little bit about the planning cycle of terrorists and things to be looking out for, but then how does that apply to you in your everyday carry as you're protecting yourself and your family, even your coworkers? So that'll be a lot of fun to stick around for that. Right now, I'm glad to be joined with Trent Cooper, General Manager at Crossbreed Holsters. Hey, Trent, welcome to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
Hey, Lee, how you doing, sir?
Better than I deserve, man. Great to talk with you.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you, too. And, you know, it's really a pleasure to talk with somebody other than, what's that other guy's name?
That Mark guy?
Yeah, that Mark guy.
Well, I thank Mark for allowing me to fill in, but he's been busy. Boy, last week and this week filling in for him, and I think now that he knows he's got somebody that can cover for him, he's taking a little extra time off.
Well, and, you know, I got to say it on here, congratulations to him and the GRPC award. Nobody deserves it more than him. So
absolutely, what a great honor! And I know he had a great time out there, and I'm sure he was sporting his Crossbreed belts and Crossbreed holsters and things like that, like many of us are.
Absolutely, absolutely. I believe that I've seen some things come across my desk to go to you, and hopefully those are working well for you. You know, we were talking about what we were going to talk about on here today, and the lifestyle of concealed carry and what you have to change, what you have to be cognizant of.
Yeah.
It affects your life in so many different ways. And, I haven't talked to you one-on-one for a long time. You know, how has it affected you? What do you do different when you go to work or out and about with your wife, dinner, out with the kids? What did you see?
Yeah, well, you know, for me, again, it is a lifestyle. It changes in the way I dress, and that's one of the reasons why with Crossbreed it's so great, because I've got a number of different Crossbreed holsters for a number of different guns, and depending on where I'm going or what I'm doing or how I'm dressing, that off sometimes dictates what I'll be doing. I might be carrying the full-size M&P. I carry that a lot. In a beautiful Crossbreed inside the waistband holster, which I love and did that for many, many years. And I picked up a shield, picked up an appendix carry holster for that, which is awesome, and love that too. So very comfortable. I've got a couple of other Crossbreed holsters that I'll use on occasion as well. And so for me, sometimes it depends on what I'm doing. Sometimes if it's winter or summer. But you guys have something for everyone.
Right, and you touched on it right there, that you said it depends on how you dress, what you're doing, what you're going out in, and that is the case. Really, one holster is not does not suit all needs. Your construction worker that goes to work every day and throws on his super tuck, that might work perfect for him every day, all day long. But when he goes home and goes out to dinner, and he may just be, wearing a totally different style of clothing, that the appendix carry works good for him. I found myself this weekend out in my Jeep, and, I knew I was going to be in it for a long time, and you can definitely drive with the Super Tuck, Mini Tuck, for quite a long time. But I thought, you know what, I just want it handy a little bit easier, so, I stuck it in our Ojai holster, which is on a ram mount series that goes, that attaches to the car.
Yep.
And you know, we have something for just about everybody out there, and your lifestyle does dictate kind of what your holster or what you're going to need on that day.
Well, I can tell you that my Super Tuck, with my full size, I have driven, you know, the Colorado and back with that and had no problem. I, you know, falling asleep on the couch all the time. Very, very comfortable. Always just, you know, it's that holster I wore for pretty much predominantly for a couple years. And then, but, you know, sometimes in the summer, you got a pair of shorts and you grab the shield. If I'm out by myself, if I'm out with the family, I normally carry the full size because I've got a few extra rounds. And also the mag carriers. Very, very comfortable, very convenient for both inside and outside the waistband.
Absolutely, yeah. Again, depending on your activities. And, of course, you never want to go without being armed. So you want to have a variety of different holsters to be able to accommodate where you're going, what you're going to do. Yeah, you know, Mark always talks, and that is a true story about him falling asleep on the couch and waking up the next morning, gun in place.
Yep.
You know, they really are simply that comfortable. I'm going to touch on a little bit something that goes a little bit farther with Crossbreed. You know, obviously we are very proud of our products and very proud of keeping Mark's name in it, Mark Craighead's name in it.
Yep.
But something that we offer that I think a lot of other companies don't is we spend time with customers trying to find what works best for them. There's a lot of new people out there, a lot of new people getting into the concealed carry aspect of their lives, and they don't know what to do. They're new to this, and we have spent, you know, upwards 2 to 3 hours with one customer finding what works for them. So we're not only a manufacturer of the best concealed carry holsters on the market, but hands down, we have got the best customer service people out there that's going to help you. They're knowledgeable. They're law enforcement people. They're people that carry every day. Obviously, everybody here carries every single day, and our customer service people, I can't say enough about them. They are here to help you get through that first part of carrying concealed, because it is something that changes your lifestyle. And that's why we've started talking about this on Mark's show, is how it changes you. And sometimes you just need a little help on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm joined with Trent Cooper, General Manager of Crossbreed Holsters. Again, you can go to crossbreedholsters.com. As we're sitting here in the Crossbreed Holster Studios, which have moved to the Twin Cities today. Again, I'm Lee Michaels stepping in for Mark this afternoon. And I was just mentioning, I was talking about Crossbreed Holsters today. I got a guy I know, good friend of mine, who just picked up, got his permit, and got his first firearm and is looking for a holster. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, go to crossbreedholsters.com, and you're going to find, I've got a couple of different things, and you can look at them, you can touch them, you can feel them, try them out, but they've got some fantastic stuff. But you got to find the thing that's right for you and make that decision of how you want to carry. Do you like, you know, inside the waistband, outside the waistband, you know? But that's one of the reasons why having more than one holster is awesome. And, you know, having the right accessories, making sure you've got the belts, making sure you have the mag holders and all that stuff that you need to go along with it. And you guys have all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Lee, you touched on the belts there. A good heavy-duty gun belt, and we hand-make our belts here in the shop as well. It is so important to keep or carry your firearm with a nice heavy-duty belt. To keep her, you know, from pulling your pants down. Seriously, if you get a heavy enough gun, it's going to drag those pants down. It's hard to conceal.
Yeah.
Our belts are some of the best on the market out there again, and we've just introduced a new Aries and G's crossover belt, and it's a very nice two-layer belt. The Aries Aegis belt buckle. Is an amazing buckle that, and it's on our website. You can go on and look at that.
Looking at it right now.
Exactly. And, you know, I can't say enough about the belts. You have to have a decent, I think you've got one of our belts, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's one of those.
There, They're awesome. I mean, again, you don't realize how much of a difference it makes until you actually do it. So, hey, Trent, really appreciate you taking time out of the busy day. God bless you and everybody over there at Crossbreed Holsters. I had the pleasure of meeting Carol when she was in town and on Mark's Sunday show when he was at the State Fair a couple of weeks back. So that was a neat honor.
Yep, I did hear about that. Hey, good luck with the show. Appreciate you stepping in to help out Mark there. And look forward to talking to you again.
You bet. God bless you and everybody over there. Trent, thanks again.
You as well, Lee. Take care.
All right, there you go. If you want the latest, go to crossbreedholsters.com. More of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with me, Lee Michaels. Coming up next, we'll be joined with Peter Johnson from Archway Defense. Interesting topic on how you can spot those threats and keep yourself and your family safe. We'll be right back.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet, used by law enforcement and civilians around the world? The Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit crossbreedholsters.com. That's crossbreedholsters.com.
Carrying spare magazines is always a great idea. The Crossbreed holster outside the waistband mag carrier is the most comfortable OWB rig on the market today. The Crossbreed mag carrier provides great retention and a high ride, enabling total concealment and immediate access under only a light cover garment. Available for single or dual magazines, these incredibly comfortable magazine carriers may just save your life one day. Crossbreed holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. To order your Crossbreed mag carrier, visit crossbreedholsters.com. That's crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out. Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
I'm Lee Michaels stepping in for Mark Walters today, a travel day. Mark will be back in the Crossbreed Holster Studios tomorrow. A big thanks to Mark for allowing me to fill in, and congratulations to Mark on the award and all he was doing out there in Arizona. So I hope he had a great time, had a great show last night, and what an award he got from the GRPC too. Well deserved. And thanks again to the United States Concealed Carry Association, one of the sponsors of the show, uscconair.com, the website you can go. And they've got great resources now. Become a member. It includes that free readiness packet. You got 2 days, 7 hours, 38 minutes, and 17 seconds to take advantage of that. And you'll see that countdown clock on the website as well. You can follow me, too, at Lee Michaels Live, or find me on Facebook. And I... really pleased to be joined now with Peter Johnson. He is with Archway Defense, former Air Force, and also Federal Air Marshal. And Peter, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me again. It's good to be back.
It's awesome. Well, one of the things I want to talk about is kind of terroristic planning. You know, we see a lot of things that are happening as we hear about all these refugees streaming over the borders into Europe. Are they coming here? We know the porous Mexican border we have here. We want to be aware of that. And you might be thinking, too, well, what is that? How does that relate to me? Most of us don't walk around really thinking every day that we're going to run into a terrorist.
Correct.
You know, we think of a robber, a rapist, a carjacker, a home intruder, something like that, maybe an active threat situation. But this is something to understand, this mindset and these different threats that can tie directly back into us in our everyday carry life.
Correct. Yeah, the terrorist planning cycle, what we'll talk about today is kind of how the terrorists conduct their operations. And this is something they do even if they don't know that they're doing it. But we've broken it down from a counterterrorism perspective to say these are the steps they go through. More importantly, for the average person out there who's not working in counterterrorism, they go to their work, they go drop the kids off at a ball game, etc. It's important to understand what it is so that if you're approached by it, we can take an active part in this role on counterterrorism.
And this is something that you did as an air marshal daily.
Absolutely. As an air marshal and even in the military, we'd call it anti-terrorism force protection, but the concept still applies.
Right. So why don't we start, let's start with kind of the broad picture. Then we'll kind of drill down as we go along here.
Yeah, so the terrorist planning cycle really breaks down into seven phases or stages. Depending on who you ask, they have their own opinion on it. The first one is broad target selection. So logically, they're sitting around a table and they're like, who do we want to kill for our cause? What do we want to blow up for our cause? Then they go into intelligence and surveillance gathering. So broad target, and they say, okay, we're going to look at X, Y, and Z. They start the intelligence and surveillance, and that could be open source. They could simply be Googling this information opposed to actually going out. Then they weed out the possible targets and say, we're going to go after target X, correct? And that's phase three. By phase three, they're pretty dedicated to what they're going to do. Now they're going to expose themselves. And this is stage four, which is pre-attack surveillance. Pre-attack surveillance, very rarely somebody goes out. If you're going to give your life for a cause, you're going to go to that location most likely before you ever commit the act there, correct?
Yes.
So what we see is a lot pre-attack surveillance or the actual physical surveillance on target. Because if X target is your place and you don't know if they have security or not, that will dictate how you attack that target, correct?
Right, right.
The last thing you want to do is to get foiled in the process of it, and I'm speaking from the perspective of the terrorist cell or the individual. So they'll actually do pre-attack surveillance. What's good for us is that allows us exposure time with them. Moving on, they go into a dry run or rehearsals. It's synonymous. They'll actually practice. Okay, how long does it take to drive the car from here to here? What equipment do we need? Then we go into actions on the objective or the act of initiating an attack. So that would be stage six. Now, if it's a suicide attack, stage seven doesn't really apply, but stage seven would be escape and evade, and then also push out the media, the propaganda that you were building the entire time, claim responsibility, and generate that fear.
So of those stages, the first three are really something that we as an everyday citizen, we're not in that room. We don't have.
I hope none of your listeners are in that room.
In that room, part of that planning, unless they are an undercover FBI informant or something. The intel and surveillance, again, if you're talking about they're doing that online, it's something we're not necessarily going to see. The target selection, we're probably not necessarily part of that. But now we get into something that we can see. We can notice something out of the ordinary. We can see that baseline threat level maybe appear, and that's when they start getting to the pre-attack surveillance and planning and the dry run.
Correct.
And this is something, as an air marshal, you know, we've especially here in Minneapolis, there's some big stories of that appeared to be dry run things on airplanes.
Without a doubt. And I believe one of your sister stations has had on FBI director in the Midwest talking about the radicalization of jihadis in the Midwest. This is a real world thing. This isn't just isolated into Europe. We have this problem in the U.S. You talked about the porous border on our southern border.
Yeah.
There are jihadis funneling across that border. So this isn't, again, this isn't theory. This is practical application. So that stage four, that pre-attack surveillance, that's a first. So the average person out there, that's a first opportunity you might have to say, okay, this person might be up to something other than going to this event, going to this hockey game, going to this football game, going to this faith-based property, right?
So when we look at some of those things, what are some of the key things, or what are you seeing now that, I mean, obviously people, we think about shopping malls, sporting events seems to be, would be something high on the target list. Is it smaller events? Just like we see in Israel with coffee shops and things like that.
Well, one of the things a lot of people look at, okay, what's a target? Well, the jihadis, specifically Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, which is a branch of Al-Qaeda in Yemen and Al-Shabaab al-Jihad, or people just call it Al-Shabaab. That's right. A Somali group. Well, they publish a magazine called Inspire. Inspire tells exactly what they're planning on doing. Inspire issue 14, came out this summer. And they specifically said assassinations, and if you're going to build bombs to kill people. Don't build bombs to destroy buildings. They want specific targeting towards groups of people.
Like we saw in the Boston Marathon bombing.
Perfect example. Perfect example of the Inspire model. So what we need to do is look at what the emergence of threats is, and it's right now it's not the taking down a building. It could be a low security, large event where you could actually set off multiple explosions.
So and that's where you start getting into faith-based properties, shopping malls.
Absolutely.
Sporting events, there's a little more tighter security going into a sporting event. But these are all things we'll elaborate on as we get into the next segment here, because this is where it starts to get into in our everyday life. Good things to know, because some of these things, even though they're not terrorists, some of these indicators are things that other criminals use to a degree in some situations.
Without a doubt.
So we'll cover all that coming up here on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. I'm Lee Michaels in for Mark Walters. Lee Michaels Live is where you're going to find me on Twitter, Lee Michaels at Facebook. More from the Crossbreed Holster Studios and Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is coming up next.
As people who carry a gun for protection, you and I both know if we're ever forced to pull that trigger, you know your life will change instantly. Liberal prosecutors, bleeding heart juries, they'd love to make examples of people like you and me. And that's why I rely on the legal and financial backup plan with my membership in the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They have a guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense, helping you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy, court, and home with your family if you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. So if you go to defendfamily.com right now, you can download this free concealed carry guide from my friends at the USCCA. Now, the guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life. Simply visit defendfamily.com, download your 100% free guide, defendfamily.com. Again, that's defendfamily.com.
Has this ever happened to you? You walk into a gun store, and by the time you walk out, you feel about 3 inches tall.
all because the guy behind the counter made you feel like an idiot just because you didn't know some of the special gun terminology or what the latest product was. Well, let Concealed Carry Magazine be your crash course on everything and anything armed self-defense. So the next time you walk into that gun store, you'll walk out with your head held high. As soon as your first issue arrives, you'll find yourself immersed in unbiased gun and gear reviews and real stories from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll quickly realize Concealed Carry Magazine isn't your cookie-cutter publication, but in fact, it's a wealth of vital information you need to stay up to date and prepared. As a special bonus, if you activate your subscription today, you'll be entered to win one of four brand new handguns. Simply go to oneofourguns.com right now to activate your subscription and secure your entry to win. Hurry, though. This offer won't last long. That's the number one of the number four guns.com.
Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, the Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says the Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low-slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
One of the few guns that fits comfortably in your pocket, the North American Arms Guardian 32 ACP is the perfect combination of small size, high quality, and great stopping power. Convenient, reliable, and very effective. North American Arms stands behind the Guardian 32 ACP with a lifetime warranty. With standard capacity of 6 plus 1 rounds in a pistol less than 4 inches in length, the Guardian ACP ships with two magazines and offers an optional 10-round capacity extended magazine. For more information, visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
It's Lee Michaels in for Mark Walters here on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense in the Crossbreed Holsters Studios here in the Twin Cities. As great, had a chance to talk with Trent Cooper, General Manager of Crossbreed Holsters, in the first segment of the program. Now we're talking with Peter Johnson from Archway Defense, former Federal Air Marshal, talking about kind of the terrorist planning cycle and how that then drills down into us in our everyday carry, in our everyday life, but not just in the threat of a terroristic threat, because a lot of this will cross over into other areas as well. And if people want more information, go to archwaydefense.com, or you can catch Peter and everybody in Archway Defense at their Facebook page. What's your Twitter, Peter?
Yep, Archway Defense. Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram, Archway Defense, you'll find us.
You'll find it. Some cool stuff too there if you're interested. So we were talking about the seven stages. We've kind of drilled down on the broad target selection being number one, intel and surveillance number two, specific target selection number three. Then we get into the indicators where we as everyday people start to become aware, the pre-attack surveillance and planning, the dry runner practice, and then stage six is the actual attack. Now, hey, Sean, I remember last week you were telling me that you had some guy at church who just seemed a little out of the ordinary.
Yes, very.
You want Peter to address that? Why don't you fill him in?
Yeah, Peter, here's the thing. There's this guy that comes into church, and he has a uniform, a camouflage uniform on.
Okay.
He's got the boots, and he wears sunglasses, and sometimes it looks like he may have a disguise on. I'm not really sure, but, you know, he's caught my eye several times, and I'm just wondering, how do we you know, since we're talking about that, how do we engage someone, or should we engage someone like that? What should we do?
So, perfect example. If this person is new and they're, you want to welcome them into your faith-based property, you already have clout because you're part of the congregation. Mm-hmm. You can simply go up and start a conversation with them. Be like, hey, I notice you. Mm-hmm. You've been here every week for the past couple weeks. I just want to introduce myself. I've been with the church for X number of years, and mm-hmm. what's your name? Now you have the opportunity. If they have ill will, you're going to find that out very quickly. They'll start bleeding indicators that are not coherent with the baseline behavior of your organization or of your faith-based property.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage you, one, just welcome them towards the church. And two, if he, most military don't wear sunglasses indoors.
Yeah.
I served for a couple of years. And
absolutely.
I mean, maybe there's somebody out there, but I don't think they should be.
Absolutely.
If they are wearing sunglasses indoors, nevertheless, they're either, maybe they have an eye problem or something, but one of the things is go up and approach and see if they actually have unit patches, if they have a name tape on mm-hmm. their uniform. Because if they are truly military, you'll find out what unit they're from, what their name is, what their rank is, etc.
Yeah.
But I would encourage you, one, just to friendly, being that nice guy at church, because mm-hmm. who wouldn't welcome that at a faith-based property? The baseline behavior is very welcoming. Go
yes.
up and introduce yourself. Two parts. One, if he's new, you're going to get a new member and you'll get a new friend out of it. Two, if the guy has any ill will, I would rather be on top of him,
yeah.
right next to him, than okay. sitting in the back of church wondering if he's going to do something.
Okay, yeah, I thought about that. He was there this past Sunday or yesterday, and I thought about maybe I need to get close to him so if something does go down, we can take care of that real quickly. Just being honest.
And that fits right into what we're talking about. I mean, real world application.
Perfect example.
So thanks, Sean. It's real world application of
You're
that.
Welcome.
If it is a pre-attack planning or surveillance, that's one of the ways you would address that.
Yep. Now, if you're, let's say it's not in your faith-based organization or it's just at your work, right?
Yeah.
Somebody keeps coming around the work. You keep seeing a car in the parking lot. Leverage that communication. Remember the classic see something, say something?
Yeah.
Well, the reason the see something, say something, and they didn't tell this to everybody when they said see something, say something, it makes for a good hashtag, but there's a lot of guts behind it. It's because if you see something, they're already in the fourth stage, fifth stage, or possibly the sixth stage of that process. This is very far down the line. We need to stop it before it gets to that sixth.
And when you approach somebody like that, and you being the Federal Air Marshal probably had to do this a number of times, yep. when you're looking at that pre-planning, that surveillance, or even that dry run or practice run, is there a big threat at that point, or is this something that helps stand them down, or does that move them on, or what do you typically see?
So what happens is if we're on a flight and there's somebody who we are picking up indicators, instead of just sitting back and crossing our fingers and hope they don't hijack the plane, we would try to initiate a conversation if there was an opportunity in a galley or near a restroom, right? As soon as the lavatories start filling up and there's a line, if I see that person get up, I'm going to try to make contact with them and start a casual conversation. Yeah. Oh, man, long flight, et cetera,
yep.
right? Because one, I want to be as close to them as possible. And two, I want to feel them out, see if my observations are justified or if they're not. But I'm going to figure that out from much closer rather than just sitting back letting all these questions run around in my head. At your work, leverage your security. And I hope your work has security. That's a different topic for a different day.
We do here.
Yep, you definitely do here. But the reason that see something, say something, you have to get engaged in this. And the civilian population has to take ownership of this is because if we see something, we're already in that stage four or the stage five or heaven forbid, stage six where the attack is actually happening.
Yeah. And for those of us too, I mean, one of the things we always talk about in planning and situational awareness too is, you know, avoid a confrontation. And this is a little different than, you know, the guy who's robbing you or going to carjack you, but there still are some pre-attack surveillance indicators, which cross over between the two.
Correct. Yeah. As a permits carry holder, lawfully carrying, or if you're out on your property and you keep seeing a car pull up in your neighborhood, I mean, I know
slowing down in front of your
yep.
neighbor's house, and you know the neighbors are out of town or something.
Exactly. Exactly. This same concept can be applied to criminal activity, right? Think about it. Let's
yeah.
break it back down. They're like, what house are we going to rob? So they have the broad target selection. okay, we're going to rob a house in this neighborhood. So intelligence and surveillance. They start pulling up Google Maps. Okay, we can walk in here, drive in here, etc. Then they go specific target. Hey, it looks like they just went on vacation, so we're going to attack X house.
Right.
Then they go into pre-attack surveillance. They're going to drive by it, right? This concept applies to criminal activity also. That's why we have to know it as a permits carry holder or somebody taking charge of our personal protection.
It's that same thing when you say when you're walking down the street, you know, making eye contact with the person coming at you. You know, I've mentioned this before when I walk with my daughter and we, you know, somebody walk past us and just kind of glancing back to make sure that the guy didn't turn around to come back at us. You know, some of those things, it applies to this. You see that car driving through the neighborhood. You could, hey, you guys need directions?
Absolutely. Are you moving into the neighborhood? We want to welcome you. We've got a good neighborhood watch, right? Now you're putting in their head, this neighborhood's aware of what's going on, right?
Yeah.
But you're being friendly. A lot of this, we don't have to approach the situation kicking in a door and pulling out a shotgun, right? We can simply go up and be professional, intelligent people that are armed and empowered to take charge of our personal protection. Then again, in the same neighborhood, if there is somebody moving in, right, they're driving by and they're thinking about buying a house, I'd want to talk to them anyway. Be like, hey, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Welcome to the neighborhood, because I want to know who my neighbors are.
It's we're joined with Peter Johnson from Archway Defense, talking about kind of the broad scope of terroristic planning, how that pertains to the criminal life. And then for us as everyday permit holders, when you get engaged or when you don't get engaged, because typically most of us, when you actually get engaged, it's in that actual attack. That's you're being robbed, you're being carjacked, somebody's, you know, busting in your front door to come into your house. You're forced to defend yourself. At that point, you're not saying, hey, I see you're new to my house. Yeah. We don't normally kick in doors here.
Our neighbors don't kick in our doors. No, that's a totally, that you're in phase six. If you're in phase six and you know there's an attack happening, totally different ballgame. What we're trying to do is stop something before it even happens.
Okay.
Right? Show them that we're a hard target opposed to a soft target.
So let's come back. Let's pick up on that, making sure that we are prepared, aware, and some of the things that we need to be watching for. You brought up the baseline, that there's a baseline, the way people act or should act in certain situations and scenarios. Well, maybe we'll identify some of those baselines and proceed from there. But all to make us better equipped in our daily lives to protect ourselves, our families, our coworkers, and our country. It's Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. I'm Lee Michaels in for Mark Walters from the Crossbreed Holster Studios here in the Twin Cities. Don't go far. If you want to follow me, it's at Lee Michaels Live. You can want Peter at Archway Defense. You'll find us there as well. Stay tuned. We're coming right back here on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
You and I both know concealed carry is a serious subject, and being prepared to protect your family when it matters most means more than just being a good shot at the range. And that's why 135,000 of your fellow responsibly armed Americans already read Concealed Carry Magazine from cover to cover, including my columns. A subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine isn't just an entire year of unbiased gun and gear reviews. It's so much more. It's real stories from real people who carry concealed every single day, just like you and I. It's life-saving information that'll keep you up to date and prepared, and most importantly, it'll help you be ready and confident to protect your family if you're ever faced with a life or death situation. Begin your subscription today, and not only will you be looking forward to a full year of America's number one publication for responsibly armed citizens, but you'll also automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this offer won't last long, so go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number one and the number four, oneofourguns.com, to activate your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. Again, that's oneofourguns.com.
Carrying spare magazines is always a great idea. The Crossbreed holster outside the waistband mag carrier is the most comfortable OWB rig on the market today. The Crossbreed mag carrier provides great retention and a high ride, enabling total concealment and immediate access under only a light cover garment. Available for single or dual magazines, these incredibly comfortable magazine carriers may just save your life one day. Crossbreed holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. To order your Crossbreed mag carrier, visit crossbreedholsters.com. That's crossbreedholsters.com.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out. Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
It's Lee Michaels in for Mark Walters as he's traveling back to his Crossbreed Holster Studios. He'll resume Armed American Radio's Daily Defense tomorrow. And we have moved the Crossbreed Holster Studios here to the Twin Cities today. I'm Lee Michaels. You can follow me at Lee Michaels Live or find me on Facebook. With me is Peter Johnson with Archway Defense at Archway Defense. You find him on Facebook there, Instagram, Pinterest, all those things. Just put Archway Defense in, and you'll find it. So, Peter, it's been awesome having you here on the program today. And we were talking before the break, kind of, you know, leading up to it, we as everyday carry people who are concerned about our our safety and the safety of our friends and family and coworkers, and even our country on the broader scale. There is a baseline, when you've brought up the term, we've talked about this in the past too, that baseline behavior.
Correct.
Is kind of a key indicator. So what are we looking for in this baseline behavior?
So baseline behavior, we can use a perfect example. I'm a coffee junkie. I think you know that.
Yes.
I drink way too much coffee. But you go into any coffee shop in America, and there's a baseline behavior for that coffee shop. There's a barista doing their thing. There's a cashier. There's some people on their laptops. There might be somebody reading a book or a small conversation. That's a baseline behavior. Now take that baseline behavior and put it in a sports arena of your favorite team, and that baseline behavior would look kind of unusual. If you're going to a football game and somebody's on a laptop just kind of hacking away, that baseline behavior is completely out of whack with the standard.
Yeah, they're not cheering when they score a touchdown.
Exactly.
They're not. Yeah.
Now, I'm bringing this to absurdity, but to show the difference in baseline behavior. And then reverse it again. You take a sports fan and put them in that coffee shop, the baseline behavior again would be completely inappropriate. So what we do is, instead of saying, okay, there's a boogeyman everywhere, I need to be worried about ninjas falling from the ceiling, walk into a place and simply say, what is the baseline behavior here, right?
Yep.
Identify what that is. Make sure that you're following the baseline behavior, because
Don't be that guy.
And then simply say, okay, who's not within the baseline? And the baseline can be anything. Within the faith-based property, what we were talking about last segment,
yeah,
The baseline, that kind of sits outside the baseline. Now, in a military chapel, that might be completely normal, minus the sunglasses indoors, because somebody would probably yell at them. But what we need to do is, instead of looking at every boogeyman and shadow behind a trash can saying everybody's coming out of the woodwork, simply say, okay, what is the baseline? Am I following the baseline? And who isn't? If they're not following the baseline, they're up to something different, or their mind is somewhere else. Not saying that's a
it's an actual threat.
Yep, not saying it's an actual threat. It's simply something for us to be more mindful of, be more aware of that person and that behavior.
And that's something you then decide as well. Maybe I'll go to a different coffee shop.
Exactly.
Maybe I'll keep an eye on this guy. Or maybe I'll
Maybe if it looks bad enough, right? Somebody taking photos of a presidential route a couple of days before the security setup. Maybe I would report that to the local JTTF or the local law enforcement. That's that see something, say something aspect.
Right.
So look for the baseline. If there's an adjustment in the baseline that's outside of the norm, then start paying more attention to that. Find out why that person is acting different than everybody else.
Right. And that's something that's, if it's in an organization or your work, it's easy to do because you can maybe engage them in a conversation in a mall or something like that. May not be, but that's where you find a security office and say, hey,
or a law enforcement officer or security agent, if you have that at your work or the mall or wherever you are.
Yep. So being cognizant of that baseline effect. So let's go down the four steps here.
So the key is to anticipate or identify the imagination behind this. The 9/11 commission report said the biggest failure was a failure of imagination. When you think about how profound that is, it was simply that nobody could fathom what was about to happen.
Right.
So the key is the imagination or anticipate what could happen. Then it's simply be vigilant. Look for the baseline adjustments. Not saying be paranoid, because that's not healthy. Be vigilant and be aware of your surroundings. Be mindful of the changes. Then don't be a target, right? When you show that you're aware of what's going on, that you're mindful, and that you aren't a target, right? Anybody listening to this show, I don't think, is really living in that.
It's something we've talked about a lot. Yeah. Mark's talked about a lot on the program.
Yeah, without a doubt. And then ultimately respond and report. And that could simply be see something, say something, right? Contact local law enforcement, etc. Or worst case scenario, and you're in stage or session 6, where they're actually in the act of it. Now you have to make a choice. You have to decide, okay, can I get people out? Or am I too close? I can't hide. I can't run. Now I have to fight.
Right? I have to engage. Yep.
Exactly. And that's an individual choice within the scope of state, local, and federal laws, obviously.
Yeah, depending on where you are and what you choose. I mean, the choice to actively go seek something out, or to, like most people would be in a situation, is I'm going to protect myself, my family, or get them out, evade first and foremost if you're able to do so.
Correct. But the nice thing about this, understanding these 7 stages, is understanding the terrorist planning cycle is similar to a professional criminal's planning cycle.
Right.
If we can see it, if we can be ahead of it, if we can show that we're aware of what's going on, we can reduce our propensity for violence, because now we look like a harder target. We can reset that terrorist planning cycle, saying it's not going to happen here.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, it's interesting because, and I'm going to tie this back into my story when I was robbed and carjacked, when the first guy approached me, and I took a step at him. I was a little bigger than he was, made eye contact with, look at me, hey, wish I had something for you, man. To show that I wasn't, going to be intimidated, but trying to make that contact, and then obviously miss the second threat.
Very difficult. Even great people have died in combat. Even great people, great cops, great soldiers, people that profess self-defense arts, right? They train. Yeah. Just because something happens to you doesn't mean you failed the test.
Right.
Right. It's an unrealistic expectation that you can stop everything at all times from anyone.
Yeah. And some of the things that you've probably stopped, you'll never know that you stopped them.
Correct.
And so there's lots of things in your daily life. And I'm not saying that, people, there's lots of crimes are going to be committed against me or anybody on a daily basis. But there are things, there's times when things have happened, you go, well, that was a little weird, and you did something and could have been innocent or not, and you don't even think twice about it. Mark Walters talks about that at the time. When he was approached, he, used his, brandished his weapon, drew his weapon at the threat coming at him in his car. Guys turned tail and ran.
Correct.
And, that was the end of that that story. So there's things like that that happen all the time that don't go reported but yet have a difference.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, if they go reported or not, we'd prefer if they went reported. But the key is protecting yourself, your family, your community, and your country at the same time. If we all take an active role in this, we can reduce our propensity for violence from criminals and would-be terrorists.
And it all comes together. It's a great training tool, something to be aware of. And that's, you know, my big thing is, staying aware and staying safe. And those are those two things kind of go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
You stay aware, doesn't mean you're paranoid, doesn't mean you're, like you said, waiting for the ninjas to drop out of the ceiling every time you go someplace, but just being cognizant of what's going on around you, and it doesn't put you in that paranoid situation, but being prepared to protect yourself and your family, and again, that plays into your coworkers and your country, ultimately.
Because without a doubt.
We talk a lot about, you see the porous borders and what's happening, and we don't know who's in this country. And, most of us think it's not if, but when.
Yeah, and that we referenced it in the first segment, but Inspire Magazine, there's about, in the UK, there's about 50,000 downloads of this jihadi-inspired magazine per month. In
it's
the
a
UK
lot
alone.
Of downloads.
In the US, we have just as big of a problem.
Yes, indeed.
When you think about people are downloading this material, it's not just for a reference tool.
Absolutely. It's not kids having fun with it or government agencies, because there aren't that many people in the government looking at it, though I wish there were.
Yep.
I'm sure. Peter, it's been a pleasure as always. Thank you. Find you at archwaydefense.com. You can hashtag, you can find him on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, all those. So God bless you, my friend.
Thanks for having me again.
You bet. Big thanks to Mark Walters and USCCA, Kevin Michalowski, Tim Schmidt. Shanto, thanks to you back at the station as well. Thanks to Trent Cooper, too, on the program today from Crossbreed Holsters. I'm Lee Michaels at Lee Michaels Live is where you're going to find me, or on Facebook. You guys have a great day. Mark Walters back tomorrow. Stay safe. Stay aware.
Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, the Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says the Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low-slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.